Hey, welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. And we were just talking about, we had Rick in and we were listening to athletes who recorded music and sang, and some were good and some were bad. And now we're going to talk about athletes who became actors. And we would love to hear from you on some of your favorites or some that aren't good. But we got a bunch of actors here, or athletes who became actors. Some had a ton of success, some not so much. Who are your favorites, athletes that also acted? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. There's a lot of actors have attempted to, or a lot of athletes have attempted to act. Some, like I said, some of them have worked out pretty well. Dan, first one that popped into your head when we talk about athletes that have become actors.
Andre the Giant.
Yes, good old Andre the Giant.
I was the right age for Princess Bride, and obviously that movie rules, and he is fantastic in it.
Yeah. He was in Conan the Destroyer, too. The sequel to Conan the Barbarian. And and of course Princess Bride. That's the movie that he's best known for. No question about it. That's the one that he's best known for. So, hey Vic, have you thought of any athletes that have become actors?
Not became an actor, but acted in one movie.
Okay.
And did a pretty good job. He seemed very normal. He was playing himself.
Okay.
Quarterback Troy Aikman, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback. I think he won 3 Super Bowls. But he was in a movie with Tom Cruise for just a little bit.
Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, Jerry Maguire. And he seemed exactly the way he normally is. It wasn't a very far stretch as an actor.
Well, if you're playing yourself,
right.
Yeah.
But he seemed natural.
Did a lot of, because I haven't seen Jerry Maguire in a while, there were some real athletes in that movie. Other than Troy Aikman, right? Didn't they have like...
Yeah, there was that scene. There was a couple, or at least one scene where there were, I think, I don't know, it was an event where a lot of the athletes had to appear.
Right.
Yeah. I know there were a few in that scene.
Yeah. Okay. Troy Aikman. There you go. 312-981-7200. What do you guys think? Athletes that become actors. Some of them had become singers, and we were just talking about them. Here is Trucker Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hey, evening, Nick.
Hi.
The first thing that popped into my head was back in the 70s, Rosie Grier on Chips. I don't know if you ever remember that episode. But
I remember Rosie Grier in other things. I don't necessarily remember him in Chips. The first thing that pops into my head when I think Rosie Grier as an actor is The Thing with Two Heads. With him and Ray Milland, where they put a white racist head connected to on a black man's body. And so Rosie Grier and Ray Milland are the thing with two heads. And when Ray Milland is a racist, and they have to they're riding around on motorcycles, they're shooting guns. One of the greatest stupid 70s exploitation movies of all time.
Right. Okay. But on Chips, Rosie Grier is in an early 70s Honda Civic.
Uh huh.
And they were just super tiny back then. You know, if you can picture them. Morris Minor from Europe in that age, but he's ripped out the front seat and he's so big he's sitting in the back seat of it driving, and they pull him over, and when they pull him over he gets mad and throws a tantrum and rips the door off, beats the car up, flips the car over, and you know Ponch and John are just like, you know, okay, yeah, there's no problem here, you know, but he's tearing the car up and screaming about how his mom was mad at him and all this other stuff. But it was just kind of, that's the first thing that popped into my mind was that big giant guy in a car that's smaller than a Volkswagen Beetle.
Right. And tearing it up and ripping it apart. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Rich.
Doesn't open the door, just kicks it off the hinges.
All right, Rich. Thanks.
Yep. Have a good evening.
I've never seen that, although that sounds hilarious. To watch Rosie Grier get out of a small car and just bust it apart, that's pretty funny. But Rosie Grier, he played for Penn State. He was on the New York Giants. He was on the L.A. Rams. And he was at Robert Kennedy's side when he was shot in 1968. And he helped apprehend Sirhan Sirhan immediately afterwards, which a lot of people might not know. But he appeared in The Thing with Two Heads, as I mentioned, the classic piece of crap with Ray Milland. And he was also in Skyjacked, which was a movie about a plane getting hijacked. James Brolin was in that movie, and I believe Charlton Heston was in it, too. Because I think legally you can't make a movie about a crisis on a plane without having Charlton Heston in it. I think that's one of the things that legally couldn't be done in the 70s. But I remember Skyjacked. And then he also, I don't know if you guys remember this, but Rosie Grier was also a champion of needle pointing. In which, of course, you know, there was this great ironic element to that, because it's like, here's this big, tough, giant football player, and wait, look, he likes needlepoint. And he actually wrote a book and released a book on needlepoint, on needlepointing. Rosie Grier was like a major, and he would, you know, you would see him on TV talk shows doing needlepoint and stuff, and that was a big part. He also appeared a lot on The White Shadow, that great show from the 70s, early 80s, with Ken Howard as the basketball coach in the inner city high school. And Rosie Grier appeared on that as well. So Rosie Grier, you know, a very successful football player, and had a modicum of success doing acting and staying in the public eye and in the entertainment world. And, you know, was in some TV stuff. He obviously he tore apart a car in Chips, which which sounds incredibly entertaining to me. And of course, he's, you know, forever going to be in The Thing with Two Heads. I mean, as like it or not, I mean, it's an awful movie, but it's a classic. It's one of those classic stupid exploitation movies of the 70s that everybody watches over and over again. And it's a classic, and he's in that. So Rosie Grier, yeah, big dude, too. Big, big dude. The needlepoint thing is my favorite. So, all right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a bunch of people who are calling in. We were talking earlier with Rick about athletes who were who got into music and sang or played instruments, and now we're talking about athletes who act, who ended up becoming famous or not so famous as an actor in addition to being an athlete, starting out that way. 312-981-7200. Here's Rob on WGN. Hey, Rob.
Good day.
Hi.
Hey, I got to say Brett Favre is the worst actor I've ever seen. And There's Something About Mary. Stiff. He just no charisma or nothing on during that movie.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, though. That's really, that really says something, because he plays himself in it. So that,
right.
that's even worse, that if you're not good at playing yourself in a movie, not so great. Not so great.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call.
Okay, take care. There you go. Yeah, former Green Bay Packers quarterback played himself in the hit Ben Stiller, Cameron Diaz romantic comedy There's Something About Mary, by the way, the movie that forced Roy Leonard to retire. That was the movie with he after the screening of that movie, he's like, I can't do this anymore. He appears as one of Mary's former love interests. He loses the leading lady to Ben Stiller in the end. Yeah, he was definitely, Dan, you know, in his scenes, he's clearly an athlete and not really.
That's for sure.
Yeah, but it was because he played himself, but he had to play himself in circumstances that the real Brett Favre would never be in.
Right.
You know what I mean? And act the way that the real Brett Favre would never act, which is why he doesn't come off so great and comes off pretty stiff. And the movie's a comedy, and he's clearly not suited for, you know, he doesn't have the great comedic timing.
Right.
The joke is, that it's him. That's the actual, that he really shows up. And then, but the laugh, though, that comes out of his appearance is not so much him. Like, when you first see him, you go, oh my God, they actually got Brett Favre to be in this movie, which is funny in and of itself. But the real joke is when Ben Stiller mispronounces his name afterwards. What about Brett Favre? That's like the, that to me, that's the button. That's the payoff of Brett Favre's appearance. But yeah. When you're criticized about your acting and you're playing yourself, that's not good. It's not very good. But it was a fun appearance, you know? I think that's the only part of the movie that Roy enjoyed was when Brett Favre showed up. All right. Here's the deal. Let's take a quick break, all right? And when we come back, we'll jump more to the phones. We have a few lines open if you want to jump in. Texts, come on in right now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We were talking earlier about athletes who sing and play music, and now we're talking about athletes who became actors. Who were the good ones? Who were the bad ones? And all that good stuff. 312-981-7200. And they're in your favorite roles, too. All right. We'll take a break. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It is Wildcard Wednesday. You made Wildcard Wednesday here. Get your request in now. It's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. John requested the Righteous Brothers with Little Latin Lupe Lou because today is Bill Medley's 78th birthday. Happy birthday, Bill Medley. All right. Yeah, we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell coming up at 5, and then at 6 is Steve Cochran with your morning drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's all coming up. We are talking about athletes who become actors, athletes who try to act, some who do it well, some who not so much. And it's amazing how many athletes have turned to acting. And there's a lot of them, and that's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200. Here is LJ on WGN. Hi, LJ.
What's going on, Nick? Long time no talk to.
How you been, man?
We doing all right. Doing all right.
Good.
Yeah, listen, staying in the same vein with Rosie Grier, a number of football players came to mind going back to Woody Strode.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fred Williamson.
Oh, Fred Jim, Williamson. Fred Williamson, Jim, man.
Jim Brown.
Yep.
Howie Long.
Yeah, all those guys. And yeah. It's funny. Fred Williamson, by the way, was is in my favorite blaxploitation movie of all time, which is
Hell Up in Harlem.
Black Caesar.
Black Caesar.
Yeah,
okay.
That's my favorite blaxploitation movie of all time, and he's in a bunch of great ones, man. He was in From Dusk Till Dawn. Fred Williamson is awesome. I love I love the Hammer. He's one of the best, man.
Yeah, you also had Howie Long.
Yep.
Yeah, the guy from the Super Bowl Bears, Willie Gault. He tried real hard, but never really did anything.
Wait, Gault? Well, hold on. Gault tried to act. Willie Gault tried to act.
Yeah, he was upfront about it before. He even left football that was going to be his next move.
Wow.
Much like Rick Fox and from the Lakers.
Yeah.
They were already talking about their acting careers before they finished playing ball.
I didn't even, man, I had no idea that Willie Gault was going to pursue acting. I had no idea.
He was in a couple of cameo appearances in a couple of different movies.
Wow.
Yeah, he played like a newscaster in a movie in the background.
Yeah.
The TV was on in the background, and you could see him reading the news.
Oh wow! We have to look that up.
Yeah, look up IMDb. Yeah. I think he invested a lot of money both before and after he left football. But it just never did pan out.
All right, LJ, thanks. Thanks, man.
Yeah, let's check out Willie Gault.
Okay, man. Take care, buddy. See you later. There you go.
According to Wikipedia, he played Willie the Sweeper in the NBC series The Pretender. He was on the sitcom Still Standing.
By the way, we have to send this audio to my friend Scott Oaken, all-time favorite bear.
Oh,
is Willie Gault. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sitcom Still Standing played himself as the father of Tina's friend. He had a few appearances on Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
What?
I don't even know what that is.
I have no idea.
Apparently was on an episode of Parental Control as well.
Wow. Willie Gault. I had never heard that before, LJ. Did you ever hear Willie Gault tried to act?
Nope.
That is hilarious. Here is Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right.
I got one for you. Alex Karras in Blazing Saddles.
Mongo.
When he played Mongo.
He's Mongo, yeah.
He knocked the horse out?
Yep. It was Mongo just pawn in Game of Life. One of my favorite lines ever. But he was also on Webster. He played Webster's dad. He was on Webster
for
years. He was in a lot. Actually, you know, Alex Karras had a pretty successful career. You know what movie he's great in, Tom?
What's that?
Against All Odds. Rachel Ward.
John Penn?
Rachel Ward, no. Rachel Ward and Jeff Bridges.
Oh, okay.
He's great in that movie. And he was funny on Webster, and he's of course, always going to be remembered as Mongo. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tom, thanks, man.
Hey,
There we go. Yeah. Alex Karras. So that it was his real life wife who he co-starred with on Webster, and Webster was a big hit. He was on that show for a long time. Yeah, Alex Karras had a very successful acting career. And really, seriously, Alex Karras is one of the classic characters in any comedy ever made. I mean, Mongo is one of the greatest comedic characters of all time. And one of the things that I love about that is that, you know, Richard Pryor has a writing credit on Blazing Saddles. And a lot of people, because, you know, there's the ton of racial stuff in Blazing Saddles. A lot of people just assume that Richard Pryor wrote a lot of that stuff. Like, that's what he wrote. Richard Pryor loved all the Mongo stuff. He wrote most of the Mongo stuff. You know, a lot of people, when you see Blazing Saddles, you think, oh, yeah, of course Richard Pryor helped write this movie, considering some of the content racially. But he wrote the Mongo stuff. He wrote Mongo is just pawn in Game of Life, which is one of my favorite lines of all time. All right, we got to take a break. We're talking athletes who became actors here on 720 WGN. The news is coming up after this. Wildcard Wednesday continues. 312-981-7200 for your requests. Any artist, any song, anything. That's 630 area code requesting Groovy Ghoulies with King Kong Stomp. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Wednesday morning. I'm here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell, and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. And we're talking about athletes who also act or become actors. Some are good, some are bad, some try but don't do very well, like Willie Gault, as we've discovered. Willie the Sweeper was the name?
Yep.
Oh, man. 312-981-7200. What are your favorites? We've got a whole bunch of texts. We'll get to those in a second. Let me say hello to Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Nick. How's it going, buddy?
Hey.
Terry Bradshaw, Cannonball Run.
Yeah, Cannonball Run. He was in Hooper, too.
In Hooper. That's right.
And he was in the Matthew McConaughey, Sarah Jessica Parker romantic comedy, Failure to Launch.
Hilarious in that. He's great in that.
Yeah. He was just in, Dan, what was the name of that movie? Ed Helms and Owen Wilson are looking for Glenn Close was their mom. They came out last year, and they were looking for potential who could have been the father.
And
I think Terry Bradshaw's in that too.
Yeah, he was one of the potential fathers. Right. Yeah.
Father figures.
Yeah, he was in that too. So he still continues to act. He did a lot of TV shows and stuff like that. But yeah.
I'm pretty sure Bubba Smith was in the second Cannonball Run. He was like the limo driver for like Bert and
yeah.
Bonnie and stuff. Yeah,
Bubba Smith was in a lot of stuff. Obviously the Police Academy movies most memorable. So, all right, Brian. Thanks, Brian.
Sure, buddy.
Yeah. Terry Bradshaw. But by the way, you know, when we have Rick in, Terry Bradshaw gets mentioned a lot. Because he had a very big music career. He recorded a lot of albums, had a very successful music career as well. Yeah, Terry Bradshaw all over the place. And also sticks with football, does commentary and stuff, very entertaining in that regard as well. He's a funny guy, Terry Bradshaw. I don't even remember much of Failure to Launch, but he's funny in it, huh?
Oh man, it's worth the watch just for some of his scenes are great.
Okay.
He gets naked in his office in his home. I don't know, he's going through kind of a midlife crisis and he's just totally comfortable with his nudity, but yet nobody else around him is. It's hilarious.
I've totally forgot. I only saw the movie one time and when it came out, and that was well over 10 years ago. So I'll have to go back and just look at the Terry Bradshaw scenes in that one. But yeah. Okay, so Terry Bradshaw, another one, very successful movie and TV career as well, and a music career. He did everything. Here's Donald on WGN. Hi, Donald.
Hi. I was thinking about baseball players, you know, that did something. The old film, Pride of the Yankees, with Gary Cooper playing Lou Gehrig. Mm-hmm. The actual Yankees play themselves in several scenes, and most notably Babe Ruth plays himself. You know, and that's it. He actually, I think, does a pretty good job, better than any actor ever played him. So,
it's, you know what, he's got experience at being himself, so that's probably why he was so good at it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So. All right, Donald. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right. We got a bunch of texts here. 630 area code Lou Ferrigno. You know, let me explain something to you, Dan. If you want to see two of the worst movies of all time ever made that are absolutely hilarious, the two Hercules movies with Lou Ferrigno, they're genius. They're seriously the worst movies ever, but I've seen them. I've seen both of the Hercules movies with Lou Ferrigno like, I don't know, 50 times each, maybe even more. Because they are seriously unbelievably funny, like really terribly dubbed. They're both Italian films, Italian productions, really terrible, cheesy, awful special effects. And they dub in Lou Ferrigno's voice and as Hercules, and he's like, "A curse on you!" Like the voice doesn't even fit, and it's, you know, it is. Both of those movies are canon films. They came from the fantastic world of Golan Globus. Italian productions, just horrible special effects. I don't know how low the budget was, but they are hilarious. I mean, really, really funny. Funnier than some of the really good straight comedies out there. Like, I mean... Yeah, the two Hercules movies with Lou Ferrigno, the canon Hercules movies with Lou Ferrigno, those are the examples of two of the, you know, we've talked about movies that are so bad they're good. That double feature right there tops everything. That's almost up there with Fever Pitch, like in terms of like so terrible, it's hilarious. They're great. Jerry in Aurora says you got to include O.J. Yeah, O.J. Simpson went into acting. Most memorably, well, I mean, he was in Naked Gun, but most memorably, in my opinion, in Capricorn 1. You know Capricorn 1, Dan?
Only, like, via the documentary and all the, when they were talked about.
His role in it. Yeah, his role in it. But it's a great movie. It's a really great movie. And actually, in that documentary, that great documentary, that five-part documentary that was on a couple of years ago, Peter Himes, the director, is interviewed a lot in that. there's a lot of Peter Himes who directed Capricorn 1 in that movie. OJ, you know, he appeared in a lot of stuff, actually. He was in the Towering Inferno. Chuck Norris, 847 area code says, of course, you can't not talk about Chuck Norris. He was a martial arts master, and then he's a full-fledged action star. Delta Force, Missing in Action, Firewalker, Silent Rage. He was in, like, a ton of stuff. Code of Silence, which I still think is his best movie. 231 says to Terry Bradshaw, Brian says, I would like to acknowledge gymnast Kurt Thomas and his inspirational role as Jonathan Cabot in the movie Gymkata. This quintessential performance was icing on the cake of his illustrious gymnastics career. By the way, Nick, have you had a chance to watch the Gymkata DVD I sent you a while back? You sent it to me a long time ago, Brian. I have. I watched it once. Not much more, though. You know, Dan, there was this movie that came out in the 80s called American Anthem, which starred Janet Jones, who would go on to be Mrs. Wayne Gretzky. She's a babe. Oh, 80s babe. You want to talk about 80s babe? You know, specifically 80s. Because that's a very, very 80s movie. And she was very, very 80s at the time. One of the hottest 80s babes of all time, Janet Jones. And then she ends up marrying Gretzky. A lot of people were really mad because that's why he moved to L.A. because of her. And a lot of people called her Yoko. He left Canada to go to L.A. And people were like, Yoko! Anyway, she was in a movie called American Anthem, and the star of the movie, if I'm not mistaken, was Mitch Gaylord, who at the time was also, like Kurt Thomas, a major, I think, you know, medal-winning gymnast, Mitch Gaylord, and had a fantastic career as a gymnast, terrible actor, terrible movie. She was great to look at. I've seen the movie a few times because Janet Jones is a major league hot 80s babe, but Mitch Gaylord, terrible, and from the director of Purple Rain,
Oh.
Yeah. That was his follow-up to Purple Rain. Dan in Marengo says, what about Dan Marino and Ace Ventura? Please, come on, genius. Rich, the garbage man, and 641 area code says Fred Dreyer. Yeah, Fred Dreyer had a really good career. He did. He was in, you know, Hunter, the TV show. He was that show was a big hit. He did a lot of stuff, Fred Dreyer. He was, but Hunter is the thing that he's probably best remembered for. I would think that's probably the one. That's the one that he's most remembered for. He was NFL defensive end. He was with the L.A. Rams, and then he starred in a lot of action roles, and was a very big success on the show Hunter. Delivery Man says Merlin Olsen. Yeah, Merlin Olsen did a lot of TV work as well. And then Rosie Greer was on Kojak. Oh, now okay. Rosie Greer was on an episode of Kojak as well. Steve says Ed Marinaro, once a Vikings running back, went on to act in Hill Street Blues. That's true. Totally forgot about that. That's right. Pam from Joliet says, I don't recall the actor's name, but the guy who played Sloth in the Goonies was on the Raiders. That was John Matuszak, if I'm not mistaken. That was John Matuszak, Dan?
Another texter texted in with that name, so I think you're right.
John Matuszak, he played Sloth. He was also, he was also in North Dallas 40. And he was fantastic in North Dallas 40. He was great in that movie. And he's got... And by the way, you know, that's my favorite sports movie of all time, is North Dallas 40, which is odd because I'm not a football guy. But North Dallas 40 is my favorite sports movie of all time, and I actually like it more than Slapshot, which is my second favorite movie of all time, even though Slapshot is about hockey, which is like my favorite sport. But he's got a monologue in North Dallas 40 where he goes off on management, where he goes off on the coach and stuff. Have you seen North Dallas 40, Dan?
I have not.
Matuszak has this, and because he's John Matuszak, he's just this big guy, and he's under a ton of makeup as Sloth in the movie, and he doesn't really have a lot to do except like to act goofy underneath that makeup. And I can't remember if he starred in a lot of other. Can you look up John Matuszak and see if he starred in anything else?
There looks to be about 10
credits.
10 credits.
Okay, but he's so good in North Dallas 40. You know, and it wasn't like an easy monologue. It was a very emotional monologue where he really had to act. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, wow. Because you think, yeah, you know, John Matuszak, he's big, he's bad on the field. He was known for knocking guys out. But he's really terrific in it. Lou says Chuck Connors with the Rifleman. He played with the NBA and the MLB. Didn't Chuck Connors play for the Cubs? He played for the Cubs, didn't he?
I believe you're right.
Or am I nuts? He was the Rifleman, Chuck Connors. He actually went on to star in a lot of other stuff, including a great B-horror movie from the 70s called Tourist Trap. That's one of those hidden late 70s horror low-budget gems. Chuck Connors in Tourist Trap. And then Rachel in Ohio says Rosie Greer was also on the Daniel Boone Show with Fess Parker. Wow, Rosie Greer is turning out to have the most complicated acting career of all of them.
Indeed. Connors played for the Cubs in 51, played 66 games, and then retired.
Oh, he only played 66 games with them? Wow, okay. Wow, I just remember he played for the Cubs, but he obviously didn't play very long with the Cubs, though. Okay. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we've got more athletes who became actors. Good, bad, whatever, your favorites, your favorite roles, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We are talking about athletes who also act and who have started acting. 312-981-7200. But Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence L.T. Taylor played his entire professional career with the New York Giants franchise as a linebacker, earning a widely held reputation as one of the greatest players in the history of the sport, though his legacy had been marred by severe drug and alcohol abuse. His first film role came in Oliver Stone's Any Given Sunday and in Adam Sandler's football movie, The Waterboy. I remember L.T. being the big thing. I don't remember him in Any Given Sunday. Well, I've only seen Any Given Sunday the one time. Dan, did he have a big part in Any Given Sunday? Did he play himself?
He did not play himself. He played a coach. And it was, you know, obviously not one of the main roles, but right. Definitely had four or five speaking scenes.
Yeah.
Including one where he's talking about how to, you know, he gets steroid shots and various things from the Matthew... Which Matthew is it? That was the doctor, the skinny one.
I don't know. Modine?
Yeah.
Was Matthew Modine? I've only seen Any Given Sunday once.
Yeah. So, but just, you know, he wanted to get back on the field, and so he went to great lengths to dope himself up so he didn't feel pain.
Okay. Any Given Sunday, man. From the very subtle mind of Oliver Stone. How about Bob Uecker? Bob Uecker, come on now. Mr. Baseball to Johnny Carson, the retired Major League Baseball catcher, is currently the announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers. He was in the Major League trilogy. He appeared as a parody of himself as Cleveland Indians broadcaster Harry Doyle. No mention here. Why is there no mention of Mr. Belvedere? How can you mention Bob Uecker and his acting? I mean, obviously you're going to mention the Major League movies. There's no question about that. How do you not mention Mr. Belvedere? I mean, that's a huge omission. You have to acknowledge Mr. Belvedere. Never seen one episode of Mr. Belvedere, by the way. Not one full episode of Mr. Belvedere. But I think Bob Uecker's great. You know, his appearances, I have to say, his appearances on The Tonight Show were fantastic. Antenna TV, you know, obviously shows the reruns of the Johnny Carson show, and he was a frequent guest. Bob Uecker was a frequent guest on the Tonight Show, and he was hilarious. He was absolutely hilarious every single time he came on. He was hilarious. He's great in the light beer commercials too. Bob Uecker, great in the light beer commercials. But I mean, a lot of people, you know, just a bit outside. That's one of the things that people remember. Oh, man. Let's see. Lou Ferrigno is mentioned here. The Pumping Iron. He was in Pumping Iron. He was the Incredible Hulk, and he appeared on The King of Queens. He was on The King of Queens? Oh, I didn't know that. Was he a regular?
Semi-regular. Like, it wasn't, you know, every episode. But
they work at UPS with
I don't know
Kevin James?
I don't know the backstory, but I do remember seeing him in that garage man cave that he had every once in a while.
Okay. And Kevin James did work for UPS on that show, right? Or like a...
Or something like that.
But they did have the brown uniforms on, so it did indicate that it probably was UPS because they associate the color brown with UPS. That's a big part of their advertising. Of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, major professional bodybuilder, broke into Hollywood as the title character in Hercules in New York, and that was in 1970. Dan, do you know what his credit was on that movie?
I do not.
I didn't know this either, but his very first movie, Hercules in New York, where they dubbed his voice as well. I guess legally you just have to dub every actor who plays Hercules. You got to dub their voice. But he was credited as Arnold Strong.
There you go.
His breakthrough came in 1982's Conan the Barbarian, which was remade with Jason Momoa, and he was perhaps best known as the Terminator. Well, he's been in a ton of movies. I mean, obviously, the Terminator and Conan are the quintessential roles that he'll always be remembered for, but obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger had a massively popular career, and he also was a governor. Esther Williams, before she became the star of MGM musicals like Million Dollar Mermaid and Neptune's Daughter, the Los Angeles native earned three national championships in breaststroke and freestyle competitions as a teen. Busby Berkeley choreographed the elaborate swimming scenes for Williams Pictures, which were filmed in a special 90-foot square, 20-foot deep pool on the MGM lot, complete with hydraulic lifts, hidden air hoses, and special camera cranes for the overhead shots. So yeah, Esther Williams, known obviously, for swimming in movies, also was a championship swimmer before she started making musicals. All right, 312-981-7200. And here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
How about Keith Hernandez from Seinfeld?
On Seinfeld playing himself. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That's a great episode. That's a two-parter. That's a that's a two-parter, yeah.
When Kramer got spit on?
Yeah. I despise him. That's the episode where they reenact the spitting and they take off on JFK.
Yeah.
Well, that's one magic loogie when Jerry just do that. And the genius of that, not only is the bit funny, and it was, you know, and JFK was actually in the theaters when that aired. So that's how timely it was that they were doing that parody. But Newman is in JFK. Wayne Knight is in JFK. So that's like it works on two levels because it's just a funny bit, but also the fact that Newman was actually in the movie. All right, Paul. Thanks.
Nick?
Go ahead.
Wasn't there a bunch of them on Cheers?
Yeah, a lot of athletes made appearances on Cheers. I think lots of New England Patriots and Celtics made appearances. Red Sox made appearances on Cheers. Yeah, a ton of them. Fred Dreyer was also a regular on Cheers, a semi-regular on Cheers, too. All right, Paul, we got a break here for the news, and when we come back, we got more athletes who became actors, good, bad, and ugly. 312-981-7200. You know, there was a time in the 70s when Tiny Tim was very popular. I just want people to realize that. That's Wild Card Wednesday continues. Yeah, babe, Wild Card Wednesday. And John requesting Tiny Tim, I Got You, Babe. So popular, in fact, Dan, that when he got married on The Tonight Show, it was the highest rated thing on television ever.
I remember hearing that.
And that's an example of what Tiny Tim did. That's pretty much what he did. He had that voice, and he played a ukulele, and he had long hair, and he was a weirdo. And the tiptoe through the tulips, that was his signature song. 70s were a weird time, man. They were weird. They were just weird. And when a dude like that could be hugely popular, you like hit songs and appears on TV shows and ratings go through the roof when he gets married to Miss Vicky. 70s were weird, man. They were just a weird time. Weird. All right. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5. It is a Wednesday morning, and we've been talking about athletes who became actors. Some good, some bad, and some memorable roles. This spun out of our visit with Rick Geezer, who came in, and we did a sports song edition, a football edition of sports songs, considering that the football season just started. And we played a bunch of songs that were sung by athletes. Now we're talking about actors who are also or were athletes. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. Talk, text, 312-981-7200. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hello. By the way, I'm the one who requested that Tiny Tim song. but also, on Hercules in New York, the reason they called him Arnold Strong was because the real star of the movie was comedian Arnold Stang. So it was billed as Arnold Stang and Arnold Strong.
Ah, I see. Okay.
He was always the nerdy little guy with the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And he played a fellow who discovers Hercules has come to New York City, and he turns Hercules into a wrestling star.
Right. Now, I totally forgotten that Arnold Stang is in that, so that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense. All right, John, thanks for the explanation. There you go, and thanks for requesting Tiny Tim. let's see. We got a bunch of texts coming in here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about athletes who became actors, and we want to hear your thoughts. 312-981-7200. 630 area code. Rowdy Roddy Piper in They Live. Yeah, no, Rowdy Roddy Piper, man, fantastic in They Live. Fantastic. You can thank John Carpenter for that casting. John Carpenter wanted Rowdy Piper immediately. He was his first choice for that role in They Live. And he was great in it. He was great in it. He went on to do a few more movies. He starred in a few more movies, made some TV appearances and stuff like that. Rowdy Piper. He was the best, man. He was the best. And, of course, the infamous line, I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. That was improvised by Rowdy. Nice guy, too. I had the real pleasure of meeting Rowdy Piper some years ago. He came to the Flashback Weekend convention, and we screened They Live outside, and I did his Q&A. I moderated his Q&A, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy. He signed my They Live t-shirt, and I have a pair of They Live sunglasses that he signed. And he was really cool. And tons of great wrestling stories, man. I mean, the guy, you know, one of the greatest wrestlers in the history of you know, sports entertainment. When absolutely, if you're going to make a top 10 list of the best wrestlers of all time, Rowdy Piper would be on that list. And also unbelievable on the mic. Unbelievable. So his promos, some of the most entertaining promos ever in the history of wrestling. He was great on the mic. And he was a great wrestler, and he was a great heel. One of the best wrestling heels of all time. And he kicked ass in They Live. He was great in it. And that scene where he and Keith David fight in the alley for like 9 minutes or however long it is, where Rowdy Piper is desperately trying to get Keith David to put the sunglasses on so he can see that, in fact, these people are aliens. Dan, you've seen They Live, right?
I have not, but I've seen that scene.
Oh. Now, you know what? You know the South Park guys recreated that scene, right?
I do.
Like, almost frame for frame? I mean, that's one of my favorite things that Trey Parker's ever done. He loves They Live. Trey Parker's one of his favorite movies of all time is They Live. So they recreated the scene where they fight. And, like, shot for shot, it's brilliant. But yeah, Rowdy Piper and They Live. He was in Hell Comes to Frogtown, too. You ever see Hell Comes to Frogtown?
I can't say that I have.
It's pretty great, man. All right. We got more calls coming in. 312-981-7200. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Yar.
Hey.
Good morning again.
Morning.
Rosie Greer was also on the Danny Thomas show one episode.
Okay.
And Danny Thomas, I think, was, comment was, so someone named Rosie can't be that big, you know.
Then he comes in and he's big, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Johnny Weissmuller.
Oh, yeah, Tarzan.
Tarzan. And Alice Karras did a movie. He was a wrestler. He played the heel, who turned out to actually be the nice guy.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of the movie. It was an okay movie.
Okay.
It was all right.
Okay.
But,
I'll have to look for that. I have to look for that. Alex Karras as a wrestler. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, Glenn. Thank you. Take
care. You're welcome. Have a nice morning.
You too. Bye. Yeah. We're finding out everything about anything. This has become the morning where you're learning everything you ever wanted to know about Rosie Greer. Like, any appearance that Rosie Greer has made in his career, we're going to hear about this morning, I have a feeling. Uh, 630 area code says Vinnie Jones is awesome. Yeah, Vinnie Jones is pretty badass. He's in those stupid what's his face Guy Ritchie movies. Was it Vinnie Jones? Is he a football, soccer football player, rugby? What did he play? Boxer? What was he?
I believe he was a soccer player, but I'll double check.
Okay, I like him. He's just, you know, in movies that I don't like because I don't like the Guy Ritchie movies. You know what it is? I'm just jealous because he was married to Madonna. That's why I don't like his movies.
Soccer player,
Vinnie Jones. Alex says, "What about Julius Erving in The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh?" The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Yeah, that movie was released pretty much at the height of Dr. J's popularity. Because I remember everybody you know, in my grade school. I think it came out. I was in seventh or eighth grade when it came out, and this was at the time when Dr. J was just the man. I mean, he was the most exciting player in the NBA, and everybody loved him. But I remember when The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh came out, that was a big movie, a big basketball movie. 773 area code says Shaq has done a lot of acting and currently does the General Insurance commercials. Yeah, well, he was just in Uncle. What the hell was the name of that movie, Dan, from like a month ago? Uncle what? With the
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew. That had Shaq in it. Shaq, of course, is Kazam. He'll always be Kazam. What was the movie where he was a robot? Like a cyborg? Wasn't he a cyborg in another movie?
Steel, where he was right. Superman and Iron.
That's right. That's an actual comic book character, right? Yes. He's Kazam. Always going to be Kazam. But yeah, Shaq, and he's now, not only does he do the General Insurance commercials, he does Icy Hot. Doesn't he do Gold Bond, too?
Yes.
He's all over the place, Shaq. Okay. Let's break here for some weather, and then after we come back from the break, after the weather, we'll jump right back into this. And if you want to jump in, we got texts coming in. Phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. Actors, athletes who became actors and in movies that they're good or bad in, 312-981-7200. I like it when the listeners are actually listening and they make requests that have something to do with the topic that we're at hand. Nick DiGilio here. Welcome back, everybody. Darlene requesting the prologue and Anvil of Crom from Conan the Barbarian. If I'm not mistaken, Dan, Basil Poledouris is the composer.
You are correct.
One of my favorite scorers, actually. I think that score rules. Basil Poledouris is a fantastic composer. Very underrated 80s composer. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to get back to the conversation about athletes who now act, or athletes who have acted, and talk about their credits and have some fun with that. Having some fun with athletes trying to do stuff other than being athletic. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. 6 o'clock, Steve Cochran. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay, Dan. The Teddy Perkins plot continues.
Oh, boy.
One of our listeners and a friend on Facebook, my friend Nick, sent me a story from Complex. Headline says, check this out. Are we ready? For those of you who don't know, Teddy Perkins is this character that Donald Glover played last season on Atlanta. Is a weird character. He was under a lot of weird makeup. The character was seen actually at the Emmys sitting in the front row. And when Bill Hader won Best Actor for a comedy, Bill Hader came over and hugged Teddy Perkins. And then everybody's wondering who was Teddy Perkins. It wasn't Donald Glover. And then some people speculated that it was Lakeith Stanfield. But here's the headline, Dan. All signs point to Jay Farrow being Teddy Perkins at the 2018 Emmys.
You did mention how tall he was.
Yeah. And here's what it says. While Atlanta's Robin season got the shaft during last night's Emmy ceremony, Donald Glover's series wasn't completely out of the spotlight. During the televised ceremony, when Bill Hader was announced as the winner of lead actor in a comedy series, he stood up and hugged Teddy Perkins. Now, immediately the question was, who the hell is dressed up like that creepy and iconic Teddy Perkins? Heads initially assumed it was Glover, but Glover was later spotted in the crowd applauding. That brought people to assume it was Lakeith Stanfield. But he also was spotted out of makeup that night. The plot thickens, especially when you consider that the Teddy in the video clip is standing just as tall as 6'1 Bill Hader. Glover is 5'9 and Stanfield is 6 feet. And in subsequent photos, Atlanta stars Glover, Stanfield, Brian Tyree Henry took pictures with Teddy Perkins, and he was taller than all of them. There's something interesting that happened by way of a retweet. Earlier today, we tweeted one of the many images of Teddy Perkins out and about late last night, and got a like and a retweet from none other than Jay Farrow. Heading over to his Twitter account, we realized that he not only retweeted that image, he retweeted Fader's video of Teddy hugging Hader, as well as a comedy hype tweet about Farrow actually being Teddy Perkins under the makeup. Even Entertainment Tonight reported that a source told them that it was Jay Farrow, who shares a photo on his he has shared a photo of them on his Instagram. The theory does hold weight. For one, Farrow and Hader were on Saturday Night Live for a number of seasons together, so it shouldn't be a shock that they would A, want to sit next to Hader, B, be happy for his former friend and coworker when he wins an Emmy. And two, and this is the key, Farrow stands 6 feet one, so it makes sense that if Jay, under the Teddy Perkins makeup, would be standing just as tall as Hader. Let's not forget that the show aired on NBC this year with Saturday Night Live Weekend Update hosts Colin Jost and Michael Che hosting the entire ceremony. They told Variety that they'd have guys like John Mulaney and Seth Meyers pitching ideas for the evening, and the likes of Maya Rudolph, Kenan Thompson, and other SNL cast members, both current and former, that will be on hand for special segments as well. Could getting Jay Farrow on the show as the eccentric Teddy Perkins have been one of the bits that the hosts of the show got the stars from Atlanta to do? So it looks like it's Jay Farrow, Dan.
Interesting.
I love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Let's get back to actors who are athletes who act. And I got a few more here. Wait, a bunch of texts coming in. We were talking about the great Shaquille O'Neal. He's appeared in a bunch of stuff too. Let's see. How about Don Drysdale? Don Drysdale, Deacon Jones, and Joe Namath were all in the Brady Bunch. That's true. Don Drysdale was on the Brady Bunch. Deacon Jones is on the Brady Bunch. Joe Namath. You know, Don Drysdale is involved in my second favorite Harry Carey moment.
I did not know that.
Okay. So, you know, Harry was prone to do goofy stuff in the booth.
Get out of town.
Oh, yeah. Here's my favorite, number one. My number one is Harry is on the air with Steve Stone at the time, and he goes, "Hey, Steve, I'd like to just say that we've got a group here from Kent State, and they're in the crowd right now. We'll just say hello to this group from Kent State. Welcome. I hope you're having a good time at the ballpark. Hey, Steve, you went to Kent State, didn't you?" And then Steve goes, "That's right, Harry." And then Harry goes, "And they didn't shoot you?" and then Steve Stone, what do you say to that? Steve Stone goes, "No, Harry, they didn't shoot me." That's my favorite. My second favorite is this one. When Don Drysdale passed away, it was during a night with a full schedule of Major League Baseball games. So when he passed away, ESPN put together an edited montage of how each broadcaster that evening broke the news. So they went to one broadcaster and you hear, "We have some sad news from the world of baseball. We send our condolences to Don Drysdale, who passed away earlier this evening." And then they go to the next person. Next person says, "Oh, some sad news coming over the wire. Great pitcher Don Drysdale has passed away, and we send our condolences to his friends and family." And it goes on and on and on. And then they cut to they go next to the Cubs broadcast, and all of a sudden it's just Harry going, "Oh no, Don Drysdale's dead." All right, we got a break. Harry was the man. He was one of a kind, man. Nobody else like him. All right, we'll take a break, and the news is up next. Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 309, area code requesting Rick D's in Disco Duck. Once again, that was a hit song. Rick D's, a very popular DJ. He's definitely, yeah, Rick D's, yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, the actual credit on that song is Rick Dees and his band of idiots.
Cast
of idiots. Okay, Rick Dees and his cast of idiots. See, that's Morning Zoo. Yeah, my cast of idiots. Yeah. Here's some Kansas. Rick Dees, man. What's he doing now? Where's Rick Dees? He's got to be running around doing something, right, with his cast of idiots?
Wow, Rick Dees has the website rick.com.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
How did he get that? He must have got that one in 94 or something.
He still has a weekly top 40.
Oh, good for him. Yeah, man, top 40, Rick Dees. Yeah. Here's some Rush. No, he wouldn't play Rush because that's not top 40. No. Here's some Ariana and Ronda Grande. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Welcome back, everybody. We are in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will be here at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And, yeah, we are talking about athletes who became actors. They weren't necessarily good, but they may have had one or two or many roles. 312-981-7200. We mentioned Don Drysdale, Deacon Jones, and Joe Namath on the Brady Bunch. Joe Namath was in a movie. I have to say this. I have to mention this. Dan, you can look this movie up. Called CC and Company. And it was a biker movie. And he was like the leader. He played CC. The leader of like a nice motorcycle gang. You know, or like a goofy motorcycle gang. And it was Joe Namath and I believe Ann Margaret. Ann Margaret was the female lead.
You are correct.
And do we have a year on that? Got to be
70.
1970? Wow. Okay. So anyway, this is what I remember about the movie. I remember Ann Margaret because Ann Margaret, I mean, my God, it's Ann Margaret. One of the most beautiful and hottest women ever to live. So I remember Ann Margaret. And I remember the opening of the movie. This is how the movie started. I don't remember anything else because I thought this was such a crazy scene that I always remembered it. And it was just if anybody remembers CC and Company, and I believe they did play CC Rider. Oh, see, CC Rider. Oh, see what you have done. I believe that was the song that they played over the opening credits. And in the opening, this is what the opening of the scene, the scene was. It's Joe Namath, like in just like a vest, like a biker gang vest, walking through a grocery store, taking stuff off the shelf, like making sandwiches and eating them, cracking open a beer and drinking. Just as he's walking, he's got a shopping cart as he's going through the grocery store, having himself a meal, making himself a full meal. And then he just leaves. And I remember thinking that was so radical. Like, wow.
Your dad working at the Jewels at the time?
No. This is long before even I started working at the Jewels. But I just remember watching it going, I always think it's still to this day, I think it's weird when people eat while they're grocery shopping.
Eileen does that. And it freaks me out.
Yeah, and I know people do that because they're going to pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, open up a bag of chips.
Right.
You put it in the little compartment. There while you're shopping, you can snack on some chips. I don't do that because it kind of freaks. I'm with you. It freaks me out, and I just think it's weird. I think it's weird to eat the stuff in your grocery cart. Wait till you get home to eat. That's how I feel about it. So I remember as a kid seeing this movie, watching Joe Namath walking up and down these aisles making sandwiches and eating, and then of course he doesn't pay. That's the difference. He eats everything and then walks out, puts the cart away, and just leaves the grocery store because he's a biker, man. He's not going to pay. So he's CC, man. So that stuck with me. And that scene has always stuck with me. So whenever anybody mentions, if we talk about like Joe Namath, oh, he's appeared on TV, he's done this, he's done that, I always picture him walking through a grocery store, making sandwiches, eating, and then leaving. Because it freaked me out. When I was a kid and I saw that movie, I was probably 6 or 7 when I first saw it, that movie. And just how I'd never seen anything like it. Because, you know, like grocery shopping was like a sacred thing when I was a little kid, and I still kind of is. You get your food. Like I said, I don't eat any of that stuff or any of it. But, you know, and I know people do, and a lot of people do it, and then they bring like a half-eaten bag of chips up, and, you know, you ring it up and you pay for it. I know the grocery stores don't frown upon it. It's fine if you want to do that. I just think it's weird. I don't do it. I'm not gonna eat anything that I purchased until I pay for it. And if I'm really hungry, maybe eat it in the car. But I'm gonna wait till it's paid for and I get it home. So that's the one thing in the movie. I don't remember anything else about the movie except for Ann Margaret being hot and Joe Namath eating stuff off the shelves in a grocery store while pushing a cart around. Now, I don't know if that's supposed to be the takeaway. Is that really what I'm supposed to take away from that movie? Am I supposed to remember that? Or am I supposed to remember the biker adventures of CC and his company? I don't remember anything they did on bikes or on motorcycles. I don't remember anything else about the movie. I remember Joe Namath stealing stuff and making food and eating food in a grocery store. That's the only thing I remember about that movie. Do they have like a tagline on the movie? Like, is there like a, on the IMDb page? Does it?
They do. It's quite a good one. Loving, brawling, and busting it up.
And what?
Busting it up.
Loving, brawling, and busting it up. So, what's the poster look like? Is it like a? Is it a?
It is. It is those things in action. It is the three. It's three parts. The first part is Joe kissing Anne.
No.
Middle one is him fighting a bunch of guys, and then the third part is him leading his gang on his motorcycle on the desert.
Wow. I don't remember any of the loving, brawling, or busting anything up. I remember him eating. That's what they should have eaten. Loving, eating, brawling, busting. Just a picture of him with a grocery cart eating a sandwich. That's the only thing I remember from that movie. All right, before we break here for weather, let's get Chris in here. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Nick. That's the only thing I remember for that movie, too, is him eating.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I thought that was just unique to me. All right, what do you got, Chris?
I've got Gerald R. Ford, star athlete at University of Michigan, became president.
Yeah.
But there's one thing people don't know about him is he's the only athlete turned down. He was drafted by the NFL, AFL, and turned down both.
Wow.
And he still holds that record.
Wow. Okay.
Well, since, you know.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chris.
You bet.
See ya. So he turned down the AFL and the NFL, but he did become president in a unique way, to say the least. All right. Let's take a break here with some weather. And then we'll come back and we'll jump back into athletes or who became actors and Joe Namath eating in grocery stores. So there you go. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And it is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. And that was 218 area code requesting Jack Johnson with My Mind is for Sale. So there you go. All right, we are talking about athletes who became actors, and we got a ton of texts that are coming in. Let's get back to some of this stuff. 312 area code says, how about the parade of college football coaches in The Blind Side, including Alabama, Nick Saban, who played a nice stand-up guy. He should receive an Oscar nomination for that performance. 708 area code says, John Matusak was also in One Crazy Summer. He was? I don't remember him in One Crazy Summer. And then how about Brian Bosworth in Stone Cold? I love that movie. I love Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth. Dan, have you ever seen The Boz in Stone Cold?
I have, yes.
Oh, you know why I love that movie?
Why is that?
Lance Hendrickson. Lax Hendrickson plays the bad guy in it. He rules in that movie. I mean, I adore that movie. I think that movie is awesome. Not quite sure how great Brian Bosworth is in it, but I love that movie. And I mean, and Lance Hendrickson, one of my favorite stories that Lance has told on this show a couple of times, was that he plays a bad guy in that movie, and he is a bad guy. Like, he does some really twisted and despicable things in that movie and kills a lot of people in it. And then Lance always loves to tell the story about how he took his mom to the premiere of the movie, and it was her favorite character that he ever played. Now, Lance Hendrickson has played a lot of villains, as we all know, because Lance Hendrickson, you know, you look at Lance Hendrickson, you go, okay, this guy clearly going to play a lot of villains in his career. But this is by far the worst human being he has ever played. And I'm talking about a guy who's played a lot of terrible human beings in a lot of movies. This is by far the worst human being he ever played in a movie, and his mom loves the movie. His mom loved it. It's one of my favorite Lance Hendrickson stories that he's ever told, how much his mom loved him in Stone Cold. with Brian Bosworth. He was in another, wasn't he in another guy? He tried to have a career at some point, didn't he?
Yeah, it was something like with Linda Fiorentino, I want to say.
Yeah, the Boz. 847 area code, has anyone mentioned Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Great. Now, this guy's become like one of the biggest movie stars of all time. From the world of football and wrestling, he played college football, almost went to the NFL, became a professional wrestler, and then now he's like one of the biggest movie stars on the planet. But yeah, no, that's a huge success story right there. I know John Cena is trying to follow in his footsteps. You know, John Cena, I got to say, was funny in Trainwreck. One of the only things in Trainwreck I liked. Him and LeBron James. The two best parts of that movie were the two best parts of that movie were athletes. I just realized that right now. My favorite parts of those movies were of that movie was LeBron James is the best thing in the movie. LeBron James is great in Trainwreck. And his scenes with Bill Hader are great. And then John Cena. So those guys basically, it's an Amy Schumer comedy, and the best part of it is LeBron James and John Cena. But Cena's funny in Blockers. He was very funny in that. Cena's a funny guy anyway. You know, I think he's got. I mean, he always has to play somebody who's massive because he's just a huge human being. And they kind of acknowledge that in Blockers, that he's supposed to be like this suburban dad, you know, with a teenage daughter that he's worried about. But no suburban dad is built like that. So they kind of acknowledge it a little bit. Brian says, what about Dick Butkus and Bubba Smith? They made appearances on Blue Thunder, the TV show. Dick Butkus was in other stuff too, right? Dick Butkus acted a lot.
Yeah, he did.
Bubba Smith, as we mentioned, you know, from the Police Academy movies. That's probably the most that people remember him from. Frankie says, John Wayne played college football. He did. And you know that there's a movie that my friend Benji, who we've had on the show before, is my old buddy. I used to hang out with him at Ricochet's all the time. He's a huge Hawks fan. He and I used to go to a lot of Hawks games together. And he was on the quest to find the John Wayne movie where he played a hockey player. There's an actual John Wayne movie from the late 40s, early 50s, where he plays a hockey player. And I can't remember the name of it, but Benji found it, you know. And he was so excited. He got it on DVD. I think he got it off of eBay or something.
Idol of the Crowds.
That's it. So John Wayne. Seriously, John Wayne in a hockey movie. What year is it?
37.
Oh, my God. It's that early? Okay, so it's a 1937 hockey movie. Right there, that's enough for you to want to watch it. But it's John Wayne in a 1937 hockey movie, black and white. So Benji was looking for it, and he found it. And he... We put it in, we watched it, and it was goofy and crazy, and it was just weird to watch, and you know, so he kept it in. It was in his DVR or his DVD player. Someone broke in, stole some stuff, took the DVR, and he was DVD player, but it was in the DVD player. So he was so mad. He was mad that someone broke in and stole stuff. But to add to it, this movie that he had to, you know, to go to like an auction site to find, really hard to find movie, that happened to be in the DVD player when they stole it. He's like, dang, he's got the case now, but it's empty. Osvaldo says, Mike Ditka. What has Mike Ditka been in?
He was in Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. That's actually a pretty funny movie. How many movies of Kicking and Screaming? There's been another movie with Kicking and Screaming called Kicking and Screaming from the mid-90s, I want to say late 90s. Kicking and Screaming, and a really good director, if I'm not mistaken, like somebody who went on to do stuff that I really like.
Noah Baumbach,
that's it. Yep. Ernie says Lou Ferrigno lived next door to Kevin James on the show. Oh, he did? I didn't know that. Was he Lou Ferrigno, or was he just like a neighbor dude? I don't know.
I'll see if I can find out.
Okay. 630 area code says, you mentioned Lou Ferrigno. Call me crazy, but it seems that he was in a movie in the late 80s where he played a reluctant cage fighter. Kind of a Stallone movie, kind of like the Stallone movie Paradise Alley. Yeah, you know what the movie's called? Cage. And I want to say Reb Brown was in it. was in. I can't believe that I remember this. But I remember seeing it because I went with Scott Oaken and we laughed our ass off through the whole movie. But yeah, they play brothers. I think Red Brown plays his brother, and Lou Ferrigno is indeed a reluctant cage fighter in the underground cage fighting, illegal cage fighting, and the movie's called Cage.
And Lou Ferrigno did play himself on King of Queens.
Okay. 815 area code says Burt Reynolds was a college football player first. Yes, he was. He almost had a football career, a career in football. So, all right. We'll get more details about the movie Cage after we break for the news, the Lou Ferrigno movie. And then we got more here. We'll wrap it up here coming up with athletes who became actors right here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is a Wild Card Wednesday. Continuing, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. That is Dillard's, often featured on the Andy Griffith Show. Okay. And that was a Squat who wanted that one. That's Dooley. All right. Welcome back, everyone. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. And we're talking about athletes who went on to become actors. We had, our first part of the show, we had Rick Geezer in, and we were obviously talking about athletes who wanted to be musicians or singers, and we played some sports songs. Football related, and then that got us talking about actors or athletes who wanted to be actors and became actors. So there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see, we got some texts here with athletes and actors stuff. Mel says Tiny Tim was a huge Toronto Maple Leafs fan. What? was Tiny Tim Canadian? Tiny Tim was, that just seems, that is a weird, it's a weird thing to me.
Born in Manhattan, according to this.
And he was a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Okay. Canadian Bill says, what about John Cena and Dave Bautista? Shouldn't Canadian Bill have sent on the Tiny, wouldn't it make more sense if it wasn't Mel, but Canadian Bill who sent in the Tiny Tim thing?
No explanation as to why, but according to this, on October 7th, 1969, Tiny Tim was able to take the ice before a hockey event at the Hockey Shrine Maple Leaf Gardens with his beloved Toronto Maple Leafs, his favorite sports team. Wearing the skates and jersey of future Hall of Fame member Pat Quinn, Mike Walton, and Jim McKenney helped him skate on the ice his very first time trying to skate.
That is crazy.
Reacting well to his inability to skate on his own, he said, I was always athletic spiritually, not physically.
Okay, my mind is blown. Sometimes my mind gets blown, and my mind is now blown. Tiny Tim was a huge Toronto Maple Leafs fan and got to skate on the ice at Maple Leaf Garden. That is absolutely crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Wow. So Canadian Bill says John Cena and Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista, you know, obviously in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and those are huge. But he's good in those. He's very funny, and he's very good in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. But he was also really terrific in a movie this year called Hotel Artemis, where he had some really wonderful scenes with Jodie Foster. And I'm not just saying that. Like impressive, like really good, emotional, funny, really cool scenes with one of the greatest actresses of all time, Jodie Foster. And he holds, not only holds his own, but like matches her moment for moment in those scenes. So Dave Bautista, man, has turned out to be pretty cool in the movies. Let's see. 847 area code and Lake Geneva Dan says Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane. Well, that's just genius. Kevin and Chomber, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the Bruce Lee movies. Yeah, Game of Death. Bruce Lee, Game of Death. Classic, where he fights Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Let's see. 847 area code says, a trio of guards from the Celtics, Ray Allen in He Got Game, Kyrie Irving in Uncle Drew, and Bob Cousy in Blue Chips.
Had any UFC fighters brought up yet that have turned actors or actresses?
Well, Ronda Rousey.
She was brought up.
She hasn't been brought up.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey was who I was thinking of.
Ronda Rousey was in. She was just in the 32 Mile or 22, whatever.
Mile 22.
Mile 22, whatever that. Yeah, that. And she was also in one of the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
And
I think she was on Entourage once.
Was she?
Or a couple of times.
How about Gina Carano? Carano was an MMA fighter.
Right.
And she was in Haywire, which was kind of her vehicle. Like they made a movie about, and she was in Deadpool. She was in the first Deadpool. So yeah, some MMA fighters in there. But yeah, Ronda Rousey's, I think she's got another movie that's coming out, but she was just in the last Mark Wahlberg movie. 224 area code says Mike Warren was on Hill Street Blues, one of my favorite shows, and played on John Wooden's championship basketball teams at UCLA. Oh, okay. Let's see. We got some more people calling in. Here's Diane on WGN. Hi, Diane.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
All right.
Shouldn't be up this time of morning, but anyway, here I am.
Oh, all right.
I got Sonya Heine. She's an oldie but goodie, but yeah. They always had silly movies where she was ice skating.
Right. Well, they had to put her in a movie. they had to put her on ice skates. You can't.
Yeah, but they were such stupid plots.
Yeah. Well, they just wanted to see her on skates.
I know. She was a big star, but I always thought those movies were so stupid.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Diane. Thanks. Bye. Damn. Let's see. Here is Chris on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Good morning. I wanted to offer Mark Harmon, former UCLA quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. Mark Harmon was a quarterback. That's right.
And I also wanted to say, tongue in cheek, Miss Vicky was a big Bruins fan. You guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right, Chris. Take care. That's great. That was funny. That was really funny. Mark Harmon, by the way, you know, was a great quarterback, and is still one of the most successful Hollywood marriages of all time. Dan, you know who he's married to, right?
Pam Dauber.
He's married to Mork and Mindy. Well, he's married to Mindy, not Mork. And they've been married forever. They've had, like, you know. They've been married for over, like, 30 years. I think well over 30 years they've been together. One of the most successful Hollywood marriages of all time. Um, 262 area code says, I once heard Dick Butkus interviewed, and he complained that Brian Dennehy got all of his roles. Oh, that's good. 815 area code says Pinky Tuscadero from Happy Days was based on the Anne Margaret character from the Joe Namath biker movie. What? Was her name Pinky in CC and Company? CC and Company, the movie that freaked me out because Joe Namath walked through a grocery store and ate stuff off the shelf throughout the entire scene.
No, her name was Anne.
Her name was Anne. Oh, her name was Anne. Oh, they didn't want to have her forget her name. So they named her Anne. 708 area code, Bill Goldberg. Bill Goldberg is in one of the most criminally underrated movies ever, Dan.
And that is?
Looney Tunes Back in Action with Brendan Fraser and Jenna Elfman. Goldberg's in that. Bill Goldberg's in that movie. And that's a really terrific movie. Joe Dante directed that movie. That is a... seriously, a criminally underrated and underseen seen movie that does so much more justice to the handling of the Looney Tunes characters than that damn basketball. Speaking of acting, athletes acting, Michael Jordan in the Space Jam motion picture experience. I hate that movie. Hey, they're doing, Dan, we talked about this. They're doing another Space Jam, right?
With LeBron, yeah.
With LeBron. Okay. Are they going to compare those two movies then? Which
oh, I'm sure.
Which movie is better? Here's Philip on WGN. Hey, Philip.
Hey, how are we doing this morning? Hey, I don't know if you guys brought it up or not, but what about Ed O'Neill from Married with Children? He played football back in college, and I think he got drafted by the Steelers at one point.
Is that right?
I think so. You might have to look it up to double check, but I know he's got a football background.
Wow. Okay. We'll have to look that up. Wow. That's it. I would have never thought that. I would have never thought that in a million years. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But, hey, you guys have a good morning, okay?
Thank you, Philip. Take care, buddy.
I'll get you the details after the break in the Express, but yeah.
Okay.
Played college football.
Okay. 708 area code, Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan. Dennis Rodman was in that movie Knock Off with Van Damme. Right? I think he was in Knock Off. I know he was in a movie, maybe Double. No.
One of them was something double.
Doubles. That's the one. Double something.
Double team.
Double
team.
And it's Rodman and Van Damme.
Correct. Also starred in Simon Says.
Oh, that's right.
Simon, with Dane Cook and John Burnett.
God almighty. 715 area code. X-Black Eric Nestorenko. Oh, that's right. He was Rob Lowe's dad in Youngblood. I totally forgot about that. Totally forgot about that. Also, Bucky Dent was in an awful made-for-TV movie called The Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders with Jane Seymour. Bucky Dent, New York Yankee. They thought it would be a good idea to cast him in a Dallas Cowboys movie. But yeah, I forgot Nestorenko was Rob Lowe's dad. Great casting. All right. Let's break here. And I totally forgot that we had an Express. We have a Blackhawks Express. I'm happy that. Now that hockey season is back, if there is a hockey game the night before our show, we will play back the Blackhawks Express. And it was the first preseason game last night, so we will play back the Blackhawks Express, which plays all the highlights and gives you the rundown of what happened on those games. So that's coming up. Well, let's find out about the weather. We'll break and come back with the Express. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Wrapping up the show here and wrapping up the topic of athletes that have acted. We didn't mention Jim Brown was not mentioned. Football player who became an actor. And an activist. Carl Weathers. He was a football linebacker for the Oakland Raiders. He appeared in only 7 games. And then he retired and became an actor. And, of course, obviously was in the Rocky movies. And he was in Predator. And, of course, Happy Gilmore. You can't forget Happy Gilmore. Jason Lee was a professional skateboarder before he was discovered. And ended up in the Kevin Smith movies, and of course in My Name Is Earl. But he was he co-founded Stereo Skateboards in the early 90s, and was a major skateboard enthusiast. There's a little information about Ed O'Neill. We got a call that Ed O'Neill was a football player. It says Ed O'Neill got a football scholarship to Ohio University, was signed as an undrafted free agent by the Pittsburgh Steelers in '69, but he was cut in training camp. Oh, poor Al Bundy, cut by the Steelers. 262 area code says J.J. Watt is in Billy Lynn's halftime walk. Well, I can't believe somebody actually referenced that movie. 608 area code, what about Carl Weathers? We just talked about him. Carrie says, I met Tiny Tim at Lockwood Castle when I was a kid. My dad talked to him. He was a large, hulking man, but very nice. What? Wait a minute. Tiny Tim? What the hell was Tiny Tim doing at Lockwood Castle? Lockwood Castle, which, by the way, now is, of course, a Starbucks. You remember Lockwood Castle, Dan?
I do not.
Oh. It's what the hell street was it on? Devon? And, Central? No, not Devon and Central. Devon and something. I think it was right on the corner of Lockwood Castle, a classic ice cream place.
5400 West Devon.
5400 West Devon. What was Devon and Central? So Devon and Central.
Caldwell, technically.
Caldwell. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. It becomes a Caldwell then. What the hell is Tiny Tim doing at Lockwood Castle? That would have been creepy. Ray Nitschke was in The Longest Yard, yes. And Abe Gibernon was in Brian's Song. So. Boy, lots more athletes became actors than I anticipated. A lot of response on that. All right. Let's take a break here on WGN. We'll tell you what's coming up on the show tomorrow, right before the news.